If you read this whole chapter, you'll find that Sri Aurobindo explains to us the nature of the Divine. The whole chapter is actually could have been described as nature of the Divine. How is the Divine Himself the Shastra? Divine Himself as a Shastra. The Divine Himself as a Divine Knowledge. The Divine Knowledge of the process by which one can enter into relationship with the Divine. The Divine Himself as the effort. The Divine Himself as a laborer. The Divine Himself as a pupil, as a student. And how the Divine relates Himself with the student as a student and as a teacher. And now we have the Divine Himself as the Divine Teacher. And if you look upon the Divine, Divine can be looked upon in many different ways. He can be looked upon as the Lord of the universe. He can be looked upon as one who upholds the universe, not the Lord, but upholds the universe. The Divine as the enjoyer of the universe. One who plays with the universe as the player. The Divine can be seen as one who is indifferent to the universe. He is so above the universe that universe is simply a small play in his one fingertip. The Divine can be seen as one who is turning the wheel of the universe in which all the human beings are like the cogs of the machine. But the Divine can also be seen as our teacher. And here we have the description of Him as our teacher. As our teacher, He is first a veiled master, a master who is not seen by us. And yet who is working with us and above us as instructor. How does He instruct? By what He is veiled? What is it that veils Him? Why is He not seen as a teacher? And Sri Aurobindo answers in the very first line, on page 56 in the new paragraph that we are going to read. This inner guide is often veiled at first by the very intensity of our personal effort and by the ego's preoccupation with itself and its aims. Because we are laboring too much and because we are preoccupied with our own petty aims of life, that the great master who is behind remains veiled from us. We do not have as yet questioning in our mind. We behave as if we know the answers to the questions. We labor as if we know what we have to do, what we must do, what we want to do. And unless we ask questions, the teacher doesn't unveil himself. The first task that we should have with our teacher is to go with a bag of questions. Unless you have questions, the teacher doesn't reveal himself. So long as we know what we have to do, most of us know what we have to do. Although in our quiet moments we admit, oh, I don't know who I am, I don't know what is my life, I don't know what I have to do in my life. In our quieter moments we do all that. But in our active life we behave as if we know what we want to do. Somebody says something, we know how to react to it immediately. We know how to become angry, we know how to be displeased, we know how to be pleased, how to welcome. We know everything, as it were, all that is needed in our life. And because of this knowledge, which is ignorance, the divine teacher is veiled. In the Bhagavad Gita it is said, if you want to go to the teacher, you should go with pariprashnena. You should have repeated questioning. Sevaya. And you should serve the teacher. These are the two methods of approaching the teacher. By repeated questioning, when we begin to suspect that we are ignorant, which we don't normally do, but when we begin to suspect that we do not know, then the questions arise. And then the attitude develops in us of serving the teacher. Pariprashnena sevaya. Sevaya means by means of seva, of service. Pariprashnena means repeated question, not only prashna. Pariprashnena. Repeated questioning. Again and again, you question. That is why in the Indian system there is always a beginning of studies which says, Atha Brahma Jigyasa. Now is the query, the desire to know the Brahman, the Divine. So the Master is to be known, to be, in order to receive instruction, we have to know him. The more we question him, the more unveiled he becomes. The more we receive the answers from him, the greater becomes our occupations, not with ourselves, but with him. The inner guide is often veiled at first by the very intensity of our personal effort and by the ego's preoccupation with itself and its aims. As we gain in clarity and the turmoil of egoistic effort gives place to a calmer self-knowledge, we recognize the source of the growing light within us. The growing light within us. Yesterday, I began to speak to you, day before yesterday, began to speak to you of the knowledge. What is knowledge? It was just an introduction to the idea of knowledge. But a greater understanding of knowledge comes when we consider the contrast between knowledge and information. As I said last time, all knowledge is uncovering. And the uncovering is done in many ways. Word, I told you, is a way of uncovering. You hear a word and the word uncovers. Idea is presented an idea can be seen as a ray of light, it also uncovers. Another way of uncovering is to gain information. In fact, information to our present day is so important that to us all information is knowledge and all knowledge is information. As if there is nothing else than information. It is only when we come to deeper levels of understanding that you find that true knowledge is far transcendental of information. To get the information about soul is not soul knowledge. You read 10 books on the descriptions of the soul and you find you were exactly where you were almost. You may read 10 books about the knowledge of God. It is information about God, but that is not God knowledge. Even with the world, we have much information, but truly to know the world, unless you become one with the world, there is knowledge by identity. You do not know the world. You may have information, I know who is my uncle, who is my father, who is my mother, but you do not know. Knowledge is having a different dimension.